Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO Peoples Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy. Few have a better handle on South Florida's business climate than banking veteran Fab Brumley. In this episode, South Florida Business Journal Editor-in-Chief Mel Melendez gets her take on what's impacting business owners and entrepreneurs.
Thanks so much for joining us on Florida Business Minds.
Thank you, Mel. Good to be here.
You're the Palm Beach County President and Senior Public Policy Lead at Bank of America, based in West Palm Beach. And I know you've held the Market President role since 2007. I also know that you're quite the veteran. You launched your career in 1982, and you've held a variety of roles in finance, including controller, CFO, commercial lender, client manager, etc. I know this personally because you've served on a variety of Business Journal panels throughout the years, so I know our readers are going to benefit from this conversation. So let's get started. Now, as you know, West Palm Beach has just exploded over the past few years with the steady influx of wealthy residents and finance companies, so much so that it's now often referred to as Wall Street South or Wall Street of the South. So kind of exciting. How has that benefited our region's banking industry and overall economy?
Well, you're right, Mel. West Palm Beach has been growing economically for the last couple of decades, but we also have seen an acceleration of that in the last couple of years, making West Palm Beach really the epicenter for financial services. This county in Palm Beach has historically been known for tourism, agriculture, and construction as the primary industries. But there's been a new trend, and it's been confirmed recently when the Business Development Board conducted a research study through Dr. Jerry Parrish. You might have known him. He was formerly with FSU's Institute for Government. That study actually showed that although healthcare, life sciences are also responsible for the most jobs in the county, the largest income or GDP is really coming from financial firms. So this industry is also responsible for the highest in total wages and corporate headquarters as the highest average salaries for Palm Beach County. Mind you, now Palm Beach County is still number one in agriculture in our state. So out of all the counties, it's still number one in agriculture, but it is just no longer the leading industry within the county.
Nice. Now, you've also served as vice chairman for business banking of B of A, serving small to mid-sized businesses. And since so many of our readers are small businesses, can you chat a little bit about that, since a lot of entrepreneurs will be actually listening to this podcast?
It's always a pleasure to talk about where we sit in that realm. We're delighted to be the leading provider of small business loans for 12 consecutive quarters. And we didn't set that out to be our goal, but in South Florida, we've extended about $1.3 billion in lending last year alone. The reason we as a company know a lot about small businesses is because we actually talk to them. You know, we ask them questions, and we've conducted 11 years of an annual small business owner report, and we share that with the public. This October, the study showed that even though sentiment is slightly down year over year, about 77% of business owners plan to expand or seek funding for their businesses. So we also saw in the report that women believe they have equal access to capital. Black business owners plan to hire more in the next 12 months, and that's up year over year. And Hispanic Latino business owners want more educational resources to enhance their small business knowledge. And we've used all this information about women and minority-owned businesses to build the Bank of America Access to Capital Directory, which is a directory of made up of women and minority business owners. And it's intended to help them build their business. And it also helps us focus on their unique needs. So all these things have been very helpful to our small business owners.
That's great to hear. Now, 2023 was a challenging year for business, as you know. That was due to a variety of factors, of course, rising interest rates at the very top of that, skyrocketing insurance premiums, inflation, supply chain conditions, you know, the list goes on and on. And there's a lot of concern that this year will continue to be a little bit dicey. What advice do you have for companies that say that it's becoming increasingly challenging to secure loans?
Fortunately for us, Mel, Florida generally and South Florida specifically is outpacing most of the rest of the country in terms of economic growth and the opportunity that comes with that. The business conditions here are very good. Certainly, inflation has been high in Florida, but it's still abating. I mean, it's down to under 4%, 3.4%, might have gone up a little bit. But Fed Chairman Powell has also signaled softening in the interest rate forecast later in the year. So that's good too. But the fundamentals to financing remains really steady. The areas you mentioned, Mel, are all direct impacts to cash flow, right? Insurance premiums rising, the cost of goods. These are all inputs to the ability for cash flow to meet repayment responsibilities. So it's time for business owners to sit back and assess their revenue model. When these things happen, you have to ask, is this a temporary or an ongoing or permanent issue? If it's temporary, do I have the safety net to ride out the season, whatever that season might be? If it's permanent or ongoing, is there something I can do to lower my costs? What we're hearing a lot is, are there technologies available to help me with efficiency? Can I get better equipment? Can I invest in digital platforms to reach my customers better or increase my customer base? Or do I just need to raise prices? Good entrepreneurs do this every day, regardless of conditions they can't control, but they rather focus on what they can control.
Great advice. Now, based on your interactions with the clients so far this year, what do you see as their top three banking concerns?
It's a great question, Mel. So first, what we're hearing is our business clients who care very deeply about their employees and their employees' well-being are asking us to weigh in on one of the three elements or components of wellness. So, you know, there's health, there's the physical, there's the emotional or mental component, and then there's the financial component. And believe it or not, the financial component contributes to an employee's emotional or mental health. And we heard that loud and clear. So we've been designing and have designed programs for our clients, not just the historical group banking model where you just get free checking, but rather a way to provide advice to our business clients' employees to improve their financial lives, which help them become more satisfied with life in general. We actually took what we provide at Bank of America for our own employees and made it accessible for our business clients and their employees. So that's one concern that we have been addressing. Another concern that we're hearing about in banking is digitization. The demand is through the roof, and we spent years at Bank of America building the number one digital platform. Clients are using that platform. If you think about Erica, which is our virtual assistant, our mobile assistant, 1.5 billion times since its inception in 2018. Digital exists in all of our businesses, and it's nearly flawless. So it is a very good tool, and clients are asking, how else can I become more digital? We added 3 million active users just last year and continue to see double-digit increases. And that includes Merrill, our private clients. They're in the mid-80s percentage digitally active users. So the old adage, if you build it, they will come, and we have built it and they are coming. The third thing that I would say is a scary term, cybersecurity. We invest not just in the millions, Mel, but put a B in front of that. Our board and management team, they take this area of commitment to protect our clients and protect the company as paramount. So unfortunately, we see clients falling victim to nefarious activity, bad actors and organizations and even nation states that are coming after them. And so we're pouring into education, and we keep underscoring ideas that people need to hear. And number one is Bank of America will never call you and ask you for your credentials. We still see people that will, you know, get a phone call and say somebody pretends they're Bank of America and they're giving them their credentials. So practicing good cyber hygiene at home and in your business is going to serve you well. It's going to protect you because there's no one else out there working on that. And then last, you know, never send money to someone you don't know. So those are the three areas that I would say are of heightened concern.
Fab Brumley joining us. Next, her outlook on artificial intelligence in banking. When Florida Business Minds continues. People's Gas, working with businesses across Florida to lower energy usage and costs with efficient natural gas. Get cashback energy conservation rebates when you install new natural gas equipment. Learn more at peoplesgas.com/bizrebates.
While I was doing research for this podcast, I read several articles that underscored how in order to stay competitive, banks need to elevate their digital experiences. And much is being discussed in regard to the role that artificial intelligence is going to play in that. Can you share your thoughts on AI and any other developing technologies and the potential role that they could play in banking?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mel, and one that I have to talk about pretty frequently. Yeah, first of all, we've been using AI for the last decade. Artificial intelligence is not something new. It wasn't just born yesterday. It's been around. It's a big opportunity in financial services. Why? Because clients demand services at their convenience and at their fingertips. You know, first, the idea of making it easier for clients to query us about their accounts and the activity within those accounts. It sounds really simple, but to do that through artificial intelligence takes a lot of work. It's not easy. So we've been building technology that can understand and then respond to those queries. Took a lot of testing, took a lot of work. Erica is a great example of that. Our virtual assistant is a great example of that. Erica, it took a lot of testing to get it to this point. We have to take our data systems. We have to build the pipes and the models that are consistent and that work for our clients. These aren't easy to build, but they have to be predictable. They have to be repeatable, and they have to serve our clients how and when they want to be served. So just like everything else we do, we have to protect our clients and build a culture around the use of artificial intelligence. So, you know, you hear about coding every day, and coding is great in that works for us and it works extremely well. But what that does not do, it doesn't solve for complex questions or unique problems. And this is where people come into play. And it's people, not AI, that always will solve for those complex questions and unique problems.
Good points as well. Now, on a personal note, as a finance industry veteran, because I know that you've been in this game for quite a while now, what's it been like to witness this evolution? I'm like, what still excites you about working in the sector?
When I look back, there's been so much that has changed in my 40-year career. And it's all, you could call it technology, you can call it artificial intelligence, you can call it cyber, internet. You know, people use all kinds of terms to say that has been the catalyst or the really key for change. Any one of those names. But what's exciting for me is that the basics of trust and financial services has really not changed at all, not from where I sit. You know, our U.S. financial system is the envy of the world. And there are regions around the globe that we hear about all the time that would love to have what we have. You know, we are regulated to a point, but have the flexibility to serve our clients. The regulators do their job and we do our job. And that balance keeps the flow of capital, which is so important, available for businesses, which build an economy, which creates jobs and helps improve financial lives for families. So that formula, we've got that down pat. And I haven't seen that change. You know, there's comfort in knowing that when it comes to the fundamentals, there's nothing new under the sun. And that's how I see it.
That's awesome. Okay, well, that about wraps it up for us. Thanks so much for joining us today, Fab. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you and pick your brain on what's happening in the banking world. I know our listeners are going to really appreciate your observations today. Take good care.
Thank you so much, Mel.
Thank you for downloading Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy.